Blog Talk Radio.
You are listening to ATP Radio with Barry Nussbaum.
Hello and welcome to ATP Radio on Blog Talk. I'm your host, Barry Nussbaum. We're going to cover three updates today on the three trending news topics that everybody is still talking about. We're going to talk about COVID. I know you're sick of it, and it was supposed to end with the election, but sadly, COVID is still here. We're going to talk about the election that may be over, but it ain't over. And we're going to talk about a foreign policy decision that looks like is going to be a major change in American foreign policy should Joe Biden actually become president of the United States. And we're going to specifically talk about the Iran nuclear deal. And I'm going to tell you why you should care about it, even though you haven't heard anything about it in a very long time, courtesy of President Trump and his change in American foreign policy. So I want to remind all of our listeners in ATP land that we'll be taking questions throughout the show. All you have to do is dial 516-595-8069 and press 1. You will talk to our producer, Annie, who will get me the questions as fast as you can send them in, and I'll get to them as many as I can. As you know, sometimes it gets a little bit crazy, and we get to maybe 10 out of 100. So do your best to get in the queue as quick as you can. Again, the number is 516-595-8069. Press 1 and shoot your question over to Annie Cyrus. So let's start out with COVID. I'm going to start with an interesting series of statistics published courtesy of California State Senator Brian Jones for San Diego County, my hometown. And I'm interested because I spent a great deal of my life there. I know half the city, it seems like, having lived there for so long. And these statistics were completely shocking, especially since San Diego County is going back into yet another lockdown. So, out of roughly 3 million people in greater San Diego County, they've tested half of them, about 1.5 million. 96.1% of the population tested negative, 3.9% tested positive. Now, we can accept those statistics on their face, with the caveat that there are numerous people that say there are frequently false positives on the COVID tests. As an example, I can cite America's newest super rich guy. I think he just made it into the top three worldwide. The owner of Tesla is who I'm referring to, Elon Musk. He had tweeted a number of times in the past several weeks that he thought the COVID tests were BS, and he set about to do his own science experiment courtesy of himself. He brought in a nurse from the local testing lab, and he paid her to administer 4 COVID tests to him in a series, one after another, after another, after another, and then he sent them to the lab that everyone was using, and then he got the test back. And as a result, he was shocked and dismayed to find out he tested positive twice and negative twice. And as far as he's concerned, the COVID tests are at minimum unreliable, and I would not disagree. Having said that, the situation in San Diego is as follows. 3.9% tested positive out of 1.5 million. That's 60,000 people. Out of those positive tests, 463 people have been hospitalized out of 3 million. So it's a hospitalization rate of 0.007% out of the people sick. Are you getting the magnitude yet? Fatalities as a percentage of total death broken down by age. If you're over 60, you're about 85% of all the deaths, which in San Diego County is now up to 900. So let me break this down and put it in perspective for you. 3 million people live there. 3.9% have gotten sick over the life of COVID, if you believe the positive tests. Of all the people that have died, which is 900, roughly 81% are over 60. So if you're from 0 to 60, you're 20%, roughly 200 people out of 3 million. So the death rates in San Diego County as a percentage of positive tests is 1.5%. But if you're under 60, it's virtually zero. And the death rate for the population of San Diego County, you ready for this, ladies and gentlemen? 0.02%. That's 0.002%. So for the chance of dying from COVID in San Diego County, about equal to being hit by lightning or captured by space aliens, the kids aren't in school, the bars are shut down, the restaurants are closed, and they're under quarantine again. Is this enough proof that the cure is worse than the disease? In this person's opinion, meaning Barry Nussbaum, absolutely unquestionable. It's completely out of control and absurd. The overreaction is atrocious. And yet, nobody's listening. So it's not just San Diego. Let's talk about California. There is now a limited stay-at-home order that just went into effect that requires that all gatherings with members of somebody outside your immediate family and all activities conducted outside your personal residence or your lodging or your temporary accommodation is now banned between 10 p.m. and 5 a.m. the next day, except if your associates require you to operate, maintain, or use critical infrastructure or as required by law. By the way, this does not apply if you're homeless. Jeez, what a benefit. What the hell are they thinking in California? Don't think that's all there is. It's worse. In California, there are now Thanksgiving and Christmas rules. You know, those holidays that aren't important anymore. You cannot have a gathering with people from more than three families. That includes anyone present at your home. You're not allowed to mix into multiple gatherings. Everyone that comes to your house must have their name collected and their contact information written down so they can be traced. If people come to your home, they must be outside. Gee, that's comfortable for a Thanksgiving dinner when it's 40 degrees outside. People can come into the house to use the bathroom. I guess that's better than the bushes. But the bathroom must be sanitized frequently. They must eat outdoors. If the outdoor space is covered by an umbrella or a canopy or an awning or a structure, at least three sides must be open to the outdoors. But you can meet at a park. But not if you feel sick. And you must keep social distancing. And you must use hand hygiene. And you must wear a face mask when you're not chewing. And you can't get together for more than 2 hours. And singing, chanting, and shouting is discouraged. And everyone must have their mask on at all times, except while putting food in your mouth. Are you disgusted yet? I started today's show with the statistics to show you how unbelievably safe you are from COVID, unless you have a pre-existing condition, you're elderly, something's really wrong with you. If none of those things apply, your chance of dying is virtually zero. And yet, no Thanksgiving for you, no Christmas party for you, no school for your kids. Disgusting, isn't it? Let's talk about a couple other places. Hawaii, the state of Hawaii, is in lockdown again. Strict quarantine again. Strict mask requirements. They've had 251 deaths from COVID. Now, keep in mind, there is unbelievable mountains of evidence saying that deaths in hospitals that could be attributed to any one of a dozen causes are being instructed to be put down as COVID. And even then, in Hawaii, out of a state population among all the islands of 1.4 million, there are 251 deaths. That's a death rate of 0.0001%, slightly more than people killed by car accidents. And keep in mind, in Hawaii, even though the population is 1.4 million, there's 9.4 million tourists coming yearly to the Hawaiian Islands. So the death rate is just above zero. But if you go outside without a mask on at any time, night or day, you will get a ticket for $100 unless you are running or smoking. Are you mad? If not, you should be. Here's a question on this exact topic. Let me read it to you, and then I can talk about it. Tom from California wants to know, why are there curfews? It makes no sense for a virus to be effective at a certain time of day or night. Oh, my God. Hello, Tom. Thank you for the genius question that every person who speaks our language ought to be able to be asking relentlessly of Governor Newsom in California. What the hell does it matter if you go out at night when nobody's out anyway? This is not about preventing the disease, ladies and gentlemen. It's about social control and conditioning you to be accepting of absurd abrogation of your constitutional rights for an absurd, non-threatening situation. Tom, you're right. I have no answer that I can tell you that makes any sense. Let's talk about Illinois. 12,000 people have died in Illinois from COVID. Population's 13 million. If you go into the state, quarantine for 14 days or have a COVID pretest. The city of Chicago is shutting down again. The statewide population, death rate as a percentage of population is 0.0009. But the population of Chicago is 2.7 million, and they have a death rate from COVID of 0.0003. 700 deaths from shootings. So slightly more people are dying from shootings than COVID, but nobody cares about something that probably ought to be preventable if you took criminals off the street. I don't mean gun control, because these are illegal weapons that wouldn't be registered anyway, and Chicago is a gun-free zone, the entire city of Chicago. You can pass 85,000 gun control laws, and it won't change the numbers. But the mayor was out dancing in the streets celebrating Joe Biden's supposed victory. Thousands were in the street, and that was not illegal. Here's a personal story. I have a friend who's a critical care nurse in San Diego. She says in her hospital, the beds are empty of COVID patients. But they are instructed in the critical wards where she works for over 20 years that all deaths that can be possibly attributed to COVID are attributed to COVID. Why? More funding. It's a risky proposition, and so they do it. I'll tell you, crazy vaccine mandates are coming. I mean, really scary stuff. You know the Australian airline Qantas? They released just this morning an announcement that you can't fly on their airline if you have not had the vaccine once the vaccine comes out. Here's a question for you. I don't know the answer to it. Seems logical to me. If vaccines work and the COVID vaccine works and you got the shot, why do you care if I didn't? You're already immune, aren't you? What's the difference to you? Why should you force something on me that's an abrogation of my civil rights not to have a poison substance injected into me, if that's what I would believe, and you believe differently? And you're telling me I can't get on the airline, but you can? If you're so worried, and I'm being hypothetical here, because I'm not going to fly Qantas, you get the vaccine, you wear a mask. If I have to, I'll wear a mask. Why do I need the vaccine to get on the plane? Here's a story from my past, and I want you to think about this. For many years, I was in the real estate business, and we would buy and renovate and rent houses, you know, like you see on TV, flip or flop and those sorts of things. Our painters used to buy the N95 masks because those were the ones with the best filtration systems. And they would wear them because it's incredibly dangerous to inhale paint fumes, aerosol paint fumes, when they're using the spray guns, because that's how they paint these days. Nobody rolls unless it's a small area or they're do-it-yourselfers. I remember seeing the painters take off their masks, and under the mask, they'd have paint around their eyes, around their nose, around their mouth, meaning the N95 mask, which is a really good mask that nobody seems to buy. Everyone buys these cloth things at CVS for 50 cents that I suppose keep you from sneezing on your friend, but don't keep any germs from coming in. I used to see the N95 mask not keep out paint. And a paint particle is, what, 1,000 times the size of a virus? So why in the world would a mask not work for painting, but would work for something that's 1/1,000th the size and can only be seen with a microscope? No one's ever been able to explain that to me, and I wish someone would. And if anyone wants to call in, we would love to hear it. By the way, Jim from California says, why are they not releasing the vaccine? I hear it works. Keep in mind, normally vaccines take years to approve, Jim. These have been rushed through under Operation Warp Speed at a planetary-wide rush funded by a special commission and administered by the military under the guidance of President Trump. They're bringing vaccines to the market in light speed that are being promised at 90 to 95% effectiveness, but none have been approved yet. There are two drug makers that are in late stage approval now. So my guess is, if what I read is true, you're going to see vaccines out in the next month. So some of these governors are subscribers to the do as I say, not as I do, governed by fiat party. And the irony is not lost on at least this reporter. What am I referring to? Well, let's start out with Governor Newsom. There are some great nicknames, which I'm sure many of you have heard, using his last name in a descriptive, non-complimentary version of Newsom. What happened with him? If you haven't heard about it, you're going to love this. The most expensive restaurant I've heard, I've never been there, in the state of California is called the French Laundry. It's in Napa. It's like $300 a person for dinner. Right after Newsom announced you can't go to restaurants, you can't eat indoors, you can't eat without a mask, you can't gather with more than a certain number of people, which was 10. They have to be from your own family. He called a bunch of his buddies from the pharmaceutical industry, the lobbyists, a couple other governmental lobbyists, a couple of billionaires, invited them to the French Laundry, booked his favorite table at the private dining room that's indoors, and they were packed in there like sardines. Violated the 6-foot social distancing rule, violated the no two families together rule, violated the can't eat indoors rule, violated the no mask between chewing rule, violated the no loud talking and singing rule, and got busted by a husband and wife at another table who took pictures of their $10,000 dinner from the regular dining room because Governor Newsom was in the VIP room that he had reserved. He got busted. It hit the internet. And he said he used bad judgment when he got there and realized they were all in the same room in the private dining room. He should have turned and went home. What an obvious lie. It was his party. It was his invitation. He requested the table. He invited every single person there. And yeah, they didn't wear masks, they didn't social distance, they ate indoors, and they yelled and sang and had a good old time. And that guy, California, leads the 7th largest economy in the world and is about to make California the highest tax state in the history of the United States. It happened in Minnesota, too. Governor Wilmer, Michigan, had a lockdown. You couldn't leave. You couldn't go boating, blah, blah, blah. Her husband went to the lake, called ahead, had the troopers, sorry. Look at New York's Governor Cuomo. He just got an Emmy for being so great on television, where he murdered thousands of old people that he insisted could not be taken out of old age homes, and one got sick, and then they all got sick, and thousands died. You know, it reminds me of Obama getting the Peace Prize for doing nothing except being elected president. They give Cuomo the Emmy. So why take a vaccine that's 90% effective against a disease that is 99.7% survivable? I don't know. For the 0.3% that are worried, and that includes the 60 and 70 and 80-year-olds, remember, the flu, regular flu vaccine infects about 20% of the people with the flu. I don't know if it's going to be the same number for the COVID flu vaccine, because COVID is a flu. But I'd be worried if I was 80. So in California, you can eat outside in a tent that's fully enclosed and squeezed into tight places. That's legal. But if the table is indoors and not in a tent, that's outside, that's illegal. How many of you have seen people driving their cars with masks on in their cars? How many people have seen people running down the street wearing masks while running? In other words, breathing in recycled carbon dioxide. Oh my God, is that healthy? No. And just today, the Maryland governor, Larry Hogan, said masks are now required in his state. And the people that protest say, I don't want to do it. And he says there's no constitutional right to walk around without a mask. It's sort of like saying, I have a constitutional right to drive drunk. And that, Maryland, is your governor. Maybe you might remember that when he comes up for re-election. Keith from Georgia wants to know, how often do you think cops will get snitch tips this holiday season? Well, my son just flew, and I won't mention the airline because it's not their fault, but there were people on the plane in front of him calling the attendant flight button about every 5 minutes to tell the flight attendants that other people on the plane had let their mask slip while eating a snack, or their nose was uncovered while they were sleeping. Yeah, people are doing that. Do I think they're going to call the cops? Absolutely, I do. Before we move on, one more question on COVID. I don't know who asked this, but I like the question a lot. This viewer or listener writes in and says, it's almost easier to prove there was massive voter fraud than to get the real number of COVID cases straight. Should we bother trusting anything we hear about case rates? My opinion, absolutely not. Remember what our nurse friend said? They are being told. They are being told, put down COVID as a cause of death if there's any possibility that that could be true. You've all seen the memes on social media. The guy gets run over by the bus. The ambulance comes. Looks at him, he's dead. There's another COVID death, write it up. And that's probably not far from the truth. Okay, America, that's it on COVID for today. Let's talk about the election. I've got a pet peeve about this recount thing. A recount means that you're challenging the election outcome because the people or the machines or a combination of the two didn't count the ballots up right. And here's what I have a problem with. If you worked at a bank, let's say, and it's the end of the day, and your supervisor comes over to you and you're a teller and says to you, okay, Dave, you've got to count out your cash. There may be a discrepancy, and we've got counterfeit money in the bank. So count your box again. And the drawer gets counted and it comes out a couple of dollars different than it was the first time. And you say to your supervisor, well, if there's counterfeit money in here and there's real money in here and I count it again, I'm including the counterfeit money in my tally. And the supervisor says, yeah, count it again. And finally, you agree on the number of the dollars. Not, America, which dollar is a real dollar and which somebody made in their basement. That's what recounts do. It counts the ballots submitted from the dead people and the live people, from the people that live in the state and the people that don't live in the state, from the people that registered to vote and the people that didn't register to vote. The people that had a real ID, the people that showed no ID, the people that got an absentee ballot and voted correctly, and the people that got 6 absentee ballots. And I know of cases like that. They've called me and said they got that many. You get what I'm saying? You keep counting the ballots over and over again after they've been separated out from the envelopes, and you don't know which are real. And the only way to know is an extensive forensic audit, and no state is doing that. A recount is worthless if the question is whether or not the ballots are legitimate. So when you hear recount, and let's say you're a Trump supporter, and you're reading about the Biden people saying, see, Biden won. Well, the truth is, he did. If you count all the ballots, and you don't care which are real and which aren't, which are legitimate and which are illegitimate, I'm not going to argue with that. It's counting the cash box, counterfeit money in the box. And at some point, you have to acknowledge there may be ballots that shouldn't be in the pile. I got my hair cut this morning, and my terrific stylist asked me a brilliant question. She said, I love football, and my husband and I watch every Sunday. And it strikes me that in the last 2 minutes of the game, when it's really, really important, every score is analyzed over and over and over again from camera angle after camera angle after camera angle until they're sure, did the guy score or not? Was there interference or not? Why don't they do that with elections? And if they can't figure out if it's legit, why can't we just vote again? And she's right. And I don't know the answer to that. Because voting is way more important than football, believe it or not. So you may have heard in the last couple of weeks about Dominion software and Dominion voting systems. It's the voting machine used in 30 states. It's being used in over 200 jurisdictions in the United States. In December 2019, three leading Democrat senators blasted Dominion. You're going to love the names of who I'm referring to. Senators Warren, Klobuchar, and Wyden all said, all Democrats, by the way, these machines are not safe. They have backdoor vulnerabilities. Before I go on, let me define that. That means you have an ability to go into the software, usually without the operator of the software knowing that you came in the, quote, backdoor, unquote, and affected its processing of ballots. Three leading members of the Senate, all Democrats, all agreed Dominion is not the good company, and we ought to do something about it. And now they're silent. You know, even CNN, who hates Trump about as much as a media outlet could possibly hate him, did a report saying the machines are hackable. Do you realize every single swing state ran on Dominion systems? Every one of them. Every one of them. The Carolinas, Georgia, Arizona, Nevada, Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, Michigan. Scare you to death, America. The New York Times, which is the leading newspaper in America that hates Trump, as much as CNN hates Trump, one's television, one's print, did a in-depth analysis on Dominion systems a decade ago saying these machines are hackable and ought to be replaced. The New York Times said that. What do they say now? Biden is president. It's over. It's fair. Get on with it. Here's something that I came across the other day that just shocked the hell out of me. There's a video. I don't know if you can still see it, but the New York Times did a great service to America by posting constant updates that were updated every few seconds as vote tallies were coming out. And the vote tallies were being shown in real time. Now, somebody took out their cell phone and recorded it in real time. What I'm going to tell you is so shocking. If I hadn't seen it myself, I would never have believed it. But you can see the guy's television as he zooms in on his camera phone, on his cell. You can see he's recording off live television. And I want you to listen closely to what I'm going to tell you. Every few minutes, he recorded Pennsylvania and Georgia. On the Pennsylvania and Georgia tallies, every few minutes, the tallies for President Trump were dropping. And then the exact same number that was attributable to Trump in Pennsylvania and Georgia was a plus for Biden. This is off the New York Times website feed. Now listen to what I said. I'm going to say it again. Biden would go up by 15,000 slightly less than a few seconds after Trump would go down. And over and over and over again, it wasn't just a declination in Trump's numbers and an increase in Biden numbers, but the exact same number of votes were subtracted from one side and added to the other side in real time. I've seen the video. Now, you've all heard by now of President Trump's sort of lawyer, who's not his lawyer anymore, and I'm referring to Sidney Powell, who appeared at a Trump-supported lawyer press conference and then was later announced as not part of the legal team anymore, and I'm going to talk about that in a minute, but why she is, was in, and then isn't in anymore. So hold on, we lost her feed there. We're back now. Sorry about that. My headset got muted. So Sidney Powell is back and had said at the time that she was very distressed that the Dominion voting systems would allow a hack remotely to deduct from one side and add to the other side. And exactly what she prophesied, this guy recorded off the television. Now, I might want to mention to you that in a big picture, the Sidney Powell case is more important than Trump winning or losing. I know, hold on a minute, let me finish the thought. If Trump loses and Biden wins, but Sidney wins, it's a setback, but the electoral system is intact. And in 2024, we'll have a more honest election. If Sidney Powell fails in her case to overturn state-by-state elections that might have been fraudulently, illegally pushed one way or the other, and you know which way I'm talking about, not because of votes, but because of voter manipulation with illegal votes that were never really cast, then America is screwed. We will never have another fair election. I might also add that she's off the case as of a couple days ago as part of the legal team. And I think I know why. Rudy Giuliani issued a statement today where he said that Sidney Powell is not with the campaign. I think it's because we're pushing two different legal theories, he said. The Trump legal team is focused on misconduct of the election by the state officials in places like Pennsylvania, Michigan, Georgia, and elsewhere. And Giuliani said that she's dealing on a much bigger scale with a multinational interference with our elections. So he said some of their lawsuits, meaning the Trump team, will get to the Supreme Court, and Powell's may as well. But I'm telling you something. Sidney Powell is also qualified to try cases in military courts. And if it's a treason case, that's where they would be held. And the Trump lawyers are civil litigators, and she's above that. So it may be parallel paths, both going on at the same time in the same general direction. Because remember, Sidney Powell has talked about releasing the Kraken. Many people thought this was in reference to Greek mythology. One of our ATP supporters sent me an article that says there's also a secret, supposed secret, I guess I should say, I haven't verified it, military program that is investigating hacking into American major computer systems, including voting, and that's what they call it, parlance of the military. They call the program the Kraken, and maybe that's what she means by release the Kraken. It might be a reference to a secret government program that is intended to identify foreign intervention into our elections. Here's a question that I love from Kathy in Tennessee. If they can steal this election, what will stop them from sealing the 2022 next congressional election and take the Senate now in January? And she's right. And that's what I'm very worried about. Yes, I'm worried about the presidential election now, but long term, if we don't believe in the integrity that our vote will be mattered and looked at and counted, we might as well be Venezuela or Argentina or Iran or Russia, where 99.9% of the vote votes for the controlling ruling party. And if you don't vote for them, they come to your house and bad things. One last thing before we leave election discussion for today. There's a American Antifa leader named Adam Rahuba, who has put out the following tweet, and it's sent to Donald Trump. And I took a picture of this offline this morning. Attention, real Donald Trump, which is the president's personal account on Twitter. If you do not concede by Sunday at noon, we will begin to block roads in conservative areas. Your supporters will not be able to go to work or the grocery store to feed their families. We are armed and we will retaliate to attempts at vehicular manslaughter. Nice nonviolent group, these Antifa people, aren't they? Antifascists sure sound like fascists to me. That ought to scare the hell out of you. It's scary to me, and I don't like it. All right, we're done with the election for now. Let me go to the results of the election. And specifically, let's talk about foreign policy, okay? If Biden is the president, nobody knows yet, hasn't been confirmed yet, so calm down, America, we'll know soon. The inauguration is in January, and there's one country on planet Earth ecstatic about the possibility of Joe Biden being the next president of the United States, and that country is Iran. There's 5 months between Joe Biden's possible inauguration in January and Iranian presidential elections in June, where it is said that Iran will return to its hardliners in government, as if the guys there now are moderate people who sing campfire songs and love everybody. Nothing could be further from the truth. But their expectation in Iran is we, the United States, will return to the Iran nuclear deal, known formally as the JCPOA, the Joint Comprehensive Plan of Action. And we will let them back in, and we will come back in together. And Iran is ecstatic about it. Why? Because, quite frankly, their economy is in tatters. They're choking under the effect of international sanctions regarding trade, international banking, travel, oil sales, and so on, because Donald Trump is just trying to get them to do two things: stop exporting terror and stop developing nuclear weapons, both of which were promised under the Iran nuclear deal, neither of which happened. So it is rumored out of the people that should probably be part of Biden's new cabinet that the United States will return to the JCPOA in exchange for Iran's full return to all the limits that they agreed to. And we want to get it done before the Iranian election in June of 2021. Now, the person suggesting that it would be really good to re-engage with Iran, Wendy Sherman, who was our lead negotiator, maybe the worst negotiator in American history. You may remember her name. She pulled off the Iran nuclear deal. Biden and Kerry, who was Secretary of State, and Obama, who was president, thought it was a tremendous deal. Everything that was supposedly going to happen under that deal didn't. It was as big a lie as if you like your doctor, you can keep your doctor. If you like your health care plan, you can keep your health care plan. Your rates will go down, not up. Everything turned out to be a lie. The JCPOA was worse. I remember very distinctly watching President Obama speak in the Rose Garden saying he had a breakthrough that was coming from Iran. They were going to rejoin the family of nations. They would never have a nuclear weapon. We would have anytime inspections on any site with no notice. Every single thing he promised that was going to be in the JCPOA was not in the JCPOA. And now, the incoming administration, possibly, is interviewing the woman that put that deal together. And here's a shocker. This never gets in the press. You know what her previous great deal was? On behalf of then-President Clinton, she negotiated the deal with North Korea that guaranteed they would have never have nuclear weapons in exchange for lifting sanctions. What happened? They are the scariest, most malevolent nuclear-armed state on planet Earth today because Wendy Sherman's deal sucked. And then a later Democrat administration hired her to do the same thing, and she delivered another horrible deal. President-elect Joe Biden's pick for Secretary of State looks like it's going to be Anthony Blinken. And this guy, you get this, is opposed to designating the Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps, the IRGC, as a foreign terror organization out of fears that it would make them angry and create blowback. In other words, kiss their tushies, don't call them names, even though everybody knows they're exporting terror all over the world. I'm sure you remember, in 2018, the Israeli secret intelligence operation Mossad, which is their equivalent of CIA, broke into the secret Iranian facility warehouse, and they stole half a ton of nuclear files. They got there at 7 a.m. They had 6 hours and 29 minutes to get out, and it was the biggest top secret document theft in world history. And it proved beyond a shadow of a doubt that Iran had a secret nuclear program from before the JCPOA right through 2018. It had the pictures, it had the descriptions, it had the CDs, it had the DVDs, it had all the proof of where the machines were, what the machines were doing, how much enrichment. Bibi Netanyahu took it to the White House, took it to the UN, and with the exception of President Trump, the only world leader besides Israel to have the chutzpah to do something about Iran, the world did nothing. Oh my gosh. They proved there were test chambers to conduct high explosive experiments for nuclear bombs. It proved that they were going well beyond enrichment stipulations. Let me give you a little bit of a timeline. Let's start just last year. Last year in May, Iran announced it will no longer be bound by limits on heavy water and enriched uranium stockpile. The JCPOA prohibits it. They're still in the JCPOA with the rest of the world, just not America. Then in July, Iran came out and said they've exceeded the limitations on their enrichment stockpile. Then in July, a week later, they said they'd exceeded that limit. Then in September, they said they were going to disregard all limitations on research and development of advanced centrifuges. Then they said they had installed advanced centrifuges, which are only for weapons-grade uranium. Then in November last year, they announced they were moving their uranium gas from Natanz to Fordo, which was illegal. And then they said they'd gone over the stockpile of enriched heavy water. Every single requirement that they were to meet, they breached. Every single one. And despite tons of evidence sent to governments around the world and presented at the United Nations General Assembly by Prime Minister Bibi Netanyahu with graphics and booklets that were sent around to every member of the General Assembly, Iran was building bombs and breaching the JCPOA. Besides President Trump, may God bless him, nobody else in the world did anything. And Biden is bragging that he intends to jump back into the JCPOA. Absolutely unbelievable, unquestionably the dumbest deal in American foreign policy history. And I'll tell anybody why if they would just listen. Two questions from listeners that have just come in on this last part. First, is Biden trying to start a second Holocaust by making a deal with Iran? Boy, you talk about a deal with the devil. I used to think that Adolf Hitler with the war machine of the Third Reich was the biggest danger Jews in the world faced. But the one thing Hitler never had, thank goodness, was nuclear weapons. And Iran very shortly will. And they have been promising on a weekly basis to kill every Jew they can find. And they brag about how glad they are that all the Jews or most of the world's Jews are in Israel so they can kill them all at once. There's a passage in the Bible that says, if someone says they're going to kill you, believe them. And there's another passage that said, when someone comes to kill you, rise up and kill them first, which has been Israel's position. And with the exception of the United States, nobody else has been there for Israel on this exact subject. I love this question. What would you tell Jews who support the Iran nuclear deal? Simply subscribe to ATP, get our information, get educated, get your eyes open, and stop being a party person and get involved in the issue. To my fellow Jews who support an Iran nuclear deal, you are sealing the fate of Jews, at least in Israel, you need to be alerted and you need to change your mind. Before we go today, we're almost out of time. I can take a question or two if there are any this late. I want to suggest to all of you to subscribe to our mobile text alert system. It's very simple. All you do is take out your cell phone and text the word TRUTH, T-R-U-T-H, send it to 88202 and push send. You'll be automatically subscribed to our text message alert system. You'll get all of our shows, this one and everything else we produce on a regular basis, absolutely free on your cell phone, and it's always free. Every couple days you'll get more information, and it's very, very simple. You look down into the palm of your hand, and there it is. 88202 is the number. Send the word TRUTH, push send, and you're on board with us. Or go to our website, americantruthproject.org, sign up there. It's always free, and you'll get all of our stuff in your email. Thank you very much for joining us today on ATP Radio. I've enjoyed our time together. I hope you have too, and I hope you'll tell your friends about us as we continue to reach a wider and wider audience, both here in America and around the world. For ATP Radio, I'm Barry Nussbaum.
You were listening to ATP Radio. Make sure to text the word TRUTH, T-R-U-T-H, to 88202 to be notified of our future radio shows.